Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to spend these next few minutes with me as we conclude a message I've been ministering on God's ecclesia. And in contrast, we've been looking at an episode in the life of Samson found in Judges 13, those next four chapters, where it describes that he was a Nazarite, he was separated unto God, but it shows the effects of compromise and the tragedy that happened to him because he fell into the hands of his enemies, because he compromised his calling and his ministry before the Lord. And it says his hair was in seven locks, and Delilah caused him to sleep upon her lap, and she had a man come in, and those seven locks were cut off, and he lost his strength. And when that happened, he didn't realize the power of the Lord had departed from him, the Spirit of the Lord. So we've been looking at these locks, if you will, comparing it to the Samson church. The first one to have been shorn is the lock of faith. The second is the lock of prayer. The third was the lock of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth we want to begin looking at today is the second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners or followed me, I mean, you may sort of feel that this is, how could anyone possibly not believe this if you read the Word of God? Well, that's exactly my view. I don't know how you could read the Bible, read the Gospels alone, and question whether or not Jesus is going to return. Remember Matthew at the end? The two angels stand by the disciples. They watch the Lord ascend in a cloud, and the angels say, this same Jesus who you've seen taken to heaven is coming back the same way. Jesus, I mean, throughout the scriptures, it talks about the return of the Lord Jesus where he will subdue and break the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And it will be a millennial reign with peace and prosperity and a natural utopia, if you will, that only a theocracy is possible, because there will be no sword, there will be no war, and all will obey the word of the King who will dwell at Jerusalem. And so those who sit on the side of the Antichrist, they deny the deity of Jesus, they doubt the resurrection, they preach a humanistic philosophy, a social gospel, instead of the true gospel of the kingdom of God. They don't believe in the second coming of Jesus. Beloved, the Bible says he's coming, and Jesus himself says, behold, I come. One of these days, he's going to walk out of the gates of pearl and come walking down the starry firmament, and we shall see him, and every eye shall behold him. But so many don't believe it, and they've laid their heads in the lap of Delilah, if you will, and that lock of hope in the second coming of Jesus Christ has been cut off for so many. Now, what's the other lock? And I'm going quickly. There's the lock of divine healing. That's been cut off. It's been denied by many who preach that the age of miracles is past. People are not healed anymore, they say. Jesus is not healing the sick. Beloved, one of the great problems in the church today is that they've put out the light that shines down from the throne of God. If God pronounced healing for those under the old covenant, he said, I'll put none of these diseases upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, if they would walk in obedience. Shall not the better covenant of the new covenant provide for that? By the stripes of Jesus, we were already healed. And if we refuse to walk in the light God gives today, there can be no more light tomorrow. You'll never get any more light until you're willing to walk in the light that God has already given you. Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ to the people, and the people gave heed to the things which he spoke. Why? Because they heard and they saw the miracles which he did, and the Acts of the Apostles, beloved, are filled with God's marvelous miracles wrought through believing and faithful servants. Really, the Acts of the Apostles are really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So in many places, they cut off the lock of healings and miracles. Ask some of these modern preachers to pray for you to be healed, and they'll look at you cross-eyed. Or if they're willing to pray, they pray that you'll be able to endure your suffering. Beloved, when they cut off the locks of Samson's hair, they also put out his eyes. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that terrible? He couldn't see. And whenever we allow the enemy to cut off the locks of our power, our faith, our prayers, our submission, our obedience, we can't see. What's another lock that was cut off? Well, the lock of genuine salvation. The church is more anxious for statistical success than in genuine born-again experiences. They are interested in the size of their church. I mean, years ago, when we were part of a minister's fellowship, not a denomination, I remember I was so naive and young in the Lord, I really just believed how fabulous it was going to be, because we were going to have, it was a bunch of preachers, and we were all going to be worshiping God. Well, unfortunately, my eyes were open, and many of them strutted around like banty roosters, and they'd say, well, how loud is your church? And I began to see that what I had hoped for was not at all exactly the way it was. And so we're interested in numbers, we're interested in size, we've been influenced by the world's mentality, bigger is better, and that's not necessarily true. We've been anxious to grow numerically, and we've laid aside spiritual growth. Now, that's the command of Jesus. We are to win the lost. We're to make disciples. But it's not just a matter of numbers. It's not just a matter of repeating the sinner's prayer. It has to be a true heart conversion, where you're turning from your past life and acknowledging and believing with everything in you that Jesus really is the answer to your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The one fundamental requisite for anyone to come to Christ or to have the life of Christ in them is to be born again. The salvation that is offered to mankind through Christ comes through his atoning work on Calvary. And what is the church but the body of Christ? And that should be the basis of our fellowship. We don't find altars in churches anymore. They're too old-fashioned. Beloved, just shake hands with the preacher, sign a card, promise to be good, attend church. That's not salvation. Salvation is a personal experience with Christ. And we need to get back to the example of the early church. Well, let's move on now. What is another example? That seventh lock is the lock of power. And this is one of the things so many people are afraid of. I remember years ago when we had our church in downtown Hayward on B Street, there was an old-fashioned preacher came in. He was, I think, in his 80s, and he said, Brother Glass, he said, don't ever be worried about wildfire in the church. He said, there's always enough wet sacks to put it out. Well, we believed in the fire of God, and we believed in team ministry, and we believed in body ministry. We have always, Brother Glass, myself, always encouraged the gifts of the Spirit to operate among his people, everything done according to scriptural pattern, in decency and in order. But in many cases, we've lost the lock, if you will, of manifestations and demonstrations of supernatural evidences of the presence of God. Beloved, Paul said, I come not preaching the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. The early church had them. We rejoice in that fact. They thrived on them, and the early church was recipient of them by an ever-present and loving God. Should this end-time church be any less? in that first miracle that Jesus performed at Canaan, the best wine was reserved to the last. I believe he wants to empower his people as never before in these perilous times in which we are living. How sad for so many to back off from God's power. When it comes to God shaking a building by the power of his presence and visibly moving in the lives of the people, they don't want it. They called them fools in the days of the apostles, but like Paul, they were willing to be fools for Christ's sake. Are we willing today to do that? What we need is no less manifestation of the power of God. We need a greater, in fact, manifestation of his power. And I'm praying, I'm crying out, and not me alone, but many are crying out for more and greater demonstration of God's divine presence in our churches, in our nation. More power, more miracles, signs and wonders, and a genuine moving of the Holy Spirit that would be felt in this nation and around the world. The prophet Joel said, God would restore that which the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the cankerworm hath eaten. He said, I will pour out of my spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh. Samson was taken prisoner. His eyes were put out by the enemy. He was put in chains. He was grinding in the prison house. This is what Satan wants for the church of the loving God. But what? His hair began to grow. They didn't recognize it. They didn't realize it. But it began to grow little by little, day by day. His power was being restored. He prayed. He said, Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my eyes. And he killed more in his death than he did in his life. The church, beloved, the power was given back to Samson, and regardless of how we've transgressed and walked away, some who've gotten lukewarm, I believe with all of my heart, the remnant, the church of the living God, the God's ecclesia are going to be filled with the Spirit of God, and they're going to have a return of the power of God and move in signs and demonstrations of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Won't you join me in that prayer, beloved, that we can see God's power return to this nation? That's the only thing that's going to bring a revival, beloved. Well, I love you. I pray you've been blessed by this message. Anytime you hear or miss a message and want to hear it again, if you have missed it, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can listen there anytime. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.